And you know, at the Sangeet, they were like, oh, we want the you know, the indoor to look like outdoor. So then even when I asked this question that do you want indoor to look like outdoor, they were like, what the hell do you mean? It's in a banquet. The Sangeet is in a banquet.
Hi guys, welcome to another episode of Behind the Shadi. My name is Vishal Raskina, and today's episode is unbelievable because we're only going to talk about the feeling you have when you enter a wedding venue. Now, I've spoken to so many people in the past, but this person is unreal at what she does. You know, remember that feeling when you walk inside a wedding venue and the decor just completely takes your breath away? And so much so that in the last few years, this has completely turned even more experiential. You feel like you're entering the ambiance, the experience it provides is beautiful. Now, providing something like this is a bespoke agency called Altair. And today we have with us the founder, Janki Desai. This is Behind the Shadi. So I've been a huge fan, and we must have crossed paths in the past, but one specific wedding that we did blew my mind because yes. It was the first time I paid attention to every single detail, and every single detail blew my mind. So then I had to ask, who was behind this? And I went around asking the event planner and everyone. And I remember asking the bride and the groom, and they said, this is all Altair. Now, I want to understand.
That's so sweet.
I want to understand before we start into like getting into your mind and what you do, you know, in general. What is Altair?
So Altair is basically, it's like a bespoke event design company. Mm-hmm. What we actually do is, you know, we kind of take the story of the couple as a base, and whatever their likes and stories sort of revolve around, we try to kind of, you know, knit those details in together and make you know, the storyline for each event. And every event sort of has a story and something that binds their life together. It sounds do they actually do this? But you've seen it. So we do actually pay that much attention to detail and kind of bind everything in. Sort of together. So of course we're a very tailor-made event design company. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's pretty much what Altair is sort of about.
But you guys are not very old in the industry, right? Because I've seen these bonkers concepts come out, and I think one of the best ones that personally I've seen, I wish I was a part of it, but I remember House in the Clouds put it up, and it was this Burning Man event that you guys did as part of a wedding, right?
Yes.
So before we get into the specifics of that, I want to understand, how long has the journey been?
So the journey actually has not been very long. It's been, me alone, and then slowly I sort of got a team, and it's been about 3.5 years. I'll tell you why initially it was not so crazy is because, you know, when you start, it's difficult for people to sort of, I feel like trust you or get those kind of budgets or, you know, your concepts. Slowly, I guess when you at a smaller scale, when you prove your worth and you kind of keep moving ahead, they trust you more and more. So now we're kind of lucky to, you know, get people who trust us, because I'm totally crazy. Like, I love doing crazy things. I don't think weddings are, of course, the feras and all have to be the way they are done, but I don't think like the other events need to be as, you know, as with like 1,000 candles and stuff. There's so much other things you can do, in terms of lighting and, structures and installations. Now people sort of trust us. So in the journey, post these 3.5 years, I feel we're finally finding, you know, like a niche for ourselves where they trust us and they don't mind experimenting. So yeah.
But was this like your first career choice? Was this something you always wanted to do, or were you doing something else and had an epiphany and said, oh, let's do this?
No, not really. If you know anybody I know, I'm the person who must have switched at least like 6 or 7 careers.
Uh-huh.
So I'm that kind of a person. I was very fickle. I literally didn't know what I wanted to do. I wanted to do everything, actually. Anything I saw anywhere, I was like, this is what I'm going to do.
Hmm.
This is what I'm going to do. So I definitely did not know what I actually wanted to do. And then when I did stumble upon this, I did feel like, okay, this space is a space where I wouldn't say innovation is lacking, but maybe the way I look at weddings, you know, is not been looked at. So I thought maybe there'll be a niche of people who really would want to experiment. And it was a chance I was taking, but honestly, I wasn't doing anything so great with my career that, oh, I was losing some opportunity and, you know, going on, and I was all in. I was all in with nothing. So I was like, okay, if people do really want to do it, they will.
You were in your auntie's designer store. Is that what it is, right?
Yeah. So she had this, you know, multi-designer clothing store called Magnolia.
Hmm.
And we used to kind of source, and I was a merchandiser there. So we used to kind of buy things. And that's where I learned the business part of it. Because initially when I joined her, it was a bit like, oh, if you buy something and if it doesn't sell, it's not like you have great taste. You have to do the merchandising, and you have to make sure that it also goes off the rack and not just, you know, forms a piece of decoration on the rack. So that's where I pretty much learned business. But having said that, you know, I did a lot of window display and different things like that. So I realized, and I also attended weddings where I was like, you know, everything looks just the same, and everything is, and it's still pretty. It's not like, oh, things were just bad and all of that. But maybe because I'm a bit eccentric, I just felt like maybe, you know, I could try this. So I did work with her. And then she literally, after 3 years of working with her, told me that, you know, you need to like go out and do something else, because this is a family business and you're just going to sit and chill and no one's going to tell you anything. You've learned what you had to. So now you have to take the courage and do something of your own.
Mm.
So she really pushed me to, you know, kind of do something. So that's when I kind of stepped out and thought of doing something else. And my first idea was to be a fashion designer, and she totally threw it out of the window, because she's like, she's like, what is innovative in this? Because this is literally, there's just so many designers.
Mm.
And she also told me that you're great at merchandising and visualizing, because she literally told me that I could visualize what looks good on who. So she said, you're a great visualizer. I don't think you're a great designer. So all the more that you should skip that, and you should not be doing clothes. So I said, okay. So, you know, that's how it was.
That's what I love about family. They're so honest and brutally honest sometimes.
Yeah, my family is really honest and very blunt. So, and I feel that's good, right? Because then they didn't push me into doing such a thing. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And imagine I would have been the worst clothes designer. So, yeah, definitely not.
So how were like the early days, like when you were starting off Altair, did you always want to call it Altair, or was it something else in the start and then you suddenly realized, oh, this is something?
No, I don't think I always wanted to call it Altair. I literally was, I was in Sri Lanka, and, you know, my accountant was getting it registered, and for some reason it was not getting, because it's a bit complicated to get it like registered and trademarked and stuff like that.
Mm.
So the day I got it, the day I got on my holiday, I was in Sri Lanka, he literally called and said, "Abhi mil raha hai, you have to give me a name right now."
Mm-hmm.
And I was literally with like 15 people on that trip, and I was like, oh my god, right now. I was walking on the streets of Paradise Road, and then I was mm-hmm. like, oh. So I happened to you know, come across this little store which had like the nicest artifacts and things like that, and it was called Altair. There was a lady inside who was really sweet. So I was like, listen, I really like this name and I really have to give a name. I literally told her my story. I said, You think I can call it Altair? Will you be okay? She's like, of course. She's like, I'd be so happy. And you know, she was a really sweet lady. So I said, okay, fine, Altair it is. And I checked up the meanings on Google, and it said it was one of the brightest shining stars in a constellation. I just loved it. I literally, at that moment, I loved it, and that was it.
I think that's so perfect, right? That epiphany that you had for Altair is so nice.
Yeah. And you know, also, I actually didn't want my company to have always, since the start, have any name that had anything to do with just weddings or just, you know, shadi or weddings or something like that. because in the start of my career, I mean, now, you know, our whole focus is at weddings. But initially, we were doing a lot of like brand events. So even having said that, luxury brands, I felt like, you know, I would miss out on that opportunity if I gave it a name that had something to do only with weddings, and I would never, you know, be able to do something else, because I also like to do corporate spaces, which are all design based. So yeah, that was also one of the reasons.
That's unbelievable. So now I want to understand, because design is so subjective, right? Because someone will like it, someone will not like it, but you know, how do you manage to how do you manage to set yourself apart from everyone else?
You mean from the other people in the industry?
Exactly, right? Because I feel, why does someone then take the decision to come to Altair? You know what I'm saying?
I mean, that you have to ask them, to be honest. I mean, I wouldn't say what sets me apart. I just feel like I'm super passionate about what I do. Like, I don't think, to be honest, today where I stand, I mean, I didn't put the word weddings in my name, but I think I could have, because literally today, having done so many weddings, I feel like there was nothing else I'd rather be doing. I think it's also a lot of word of mouth, because I feel once I work with the family, touch wood, like I feel like they've always said that, you know, we'll always tell you someone else about you. Like, I get heavily involved. I get involved in things that I'm not even required. Like, I'm having inputs on the bride's clothes about what she should wear. And I just like to kind of work as, you know, extended family. That's just my nature. I'm over friendly when I meet random people also. It's just my thing. So I really like to build that bond and that relationship, which goes beyond that wedding for them. So for me, it's not really like do your wedding and get out of here. I pretty much enjoy what, apart from, you know, what I do, I really enjoy the process of it thoroughly. And I really like to keep it that way. And I feel like that also kind of sets us apart, because I, you know, my whole team, I've literally told them that something I don't like people doing is, because sometimes you get all types of clients, right? They may have great taste, but they don't really know what to do with the space.
Correct.
And I always say that don't undermine what they're saying. Like, just because you know more, I feel like my team and me have strict like guidelines that you do never undermine. You hear and listen to every single thing. Because at the end of the day, because of their experience, there's only something good you can get from them. So I feel people also kind of like that, in terms of, you know, like, you're just not here to do your own thing because you know better than us. So I think listening. So I feel like all these things kind of, you know, make them come to us. What I feel, apart from, of course, the main design.
So there's a reason I asked you this, right? Because I remember when I was getting into the scene, so I pivoted into doing weddings because I was doing concerts and corporates and all of that.
Really?
That was 7 years ago. And then four years ago, I remember I got a call to go and do a wedding in Phuket, and that blew my mind, because then I had so much fun at that wedding, and I was fairly new to this space. Like, I didn't even know wedding sutra existed. That's how new I was, right? So I, after that, started looking at this situation in a way that there is this niche where an MC does not get involved with everything. Like, the MC just comes at the end and does his thing and goes. And then it just looks like this bunch of gimmicks that he's prepared, and he does the same
thing. Yeah.
So that's where I decided to change it and say, okay, let's get involved. Why not get involved? Maybe you might do 3 events lesser, but you know, in the long run, I become that ghar ka bachcha, you know, and then that, you know, and that's what it is. That's the thing ki, are Vishal kya kar raha hai, aaja, you know, ye event hai, ye discuss kar.
And what happens, Vishal, is also that, you know, we work with them at least as designers for so long. It's not that we work with somebody for 1 month. So if you don't have the equation and rapport, it's not even going to be a fun journey for us, because I literally am spending so much time with the client over a call or over a Zoom call or meeting them, that you really need to be comfortable, and you really got people, you know, you have to enjoy the process. Otherwise, there's no meaning of just working like a factory. So
100%.
So I fully agree with you.
100%. I think that is so good, because, you know, I remember when we spoke earlier also, we spoke about something called a template wedding, you know, how these weddings just followed a certain template, you know, they had these colors, this, and that's it, right? That is something even I've tried to break, and I've seen you've also tried to break it. Like, my focus is on entertainment and stuff, but your focus is mainly on how it looks, you know? Can you tell us one of those one weddings that where you said, okay, let's go and break this template. Let's try and do something. One of your first weddings that you decided, oh, let's like change the course of wind.
I have to think about it. I think I've tried that since like day one. But I think the one wedding that I can tell you is basically, you know, I was doing this wedding. She's also my very good friend. Mm. She's a blogger called House of Misu. And to be honest, that was like my, you can call it my first opportunity where I was doing an 800 people event.
Okay, wow.
And you know, she literally being a friend thought that I'm not going to get anyone else and I'm going to let you do it because I feel like I know how your brain works. So there were two options. I mean, there were many options. And one of the options in the venue was Great Eastern Homes. Whereas, you know, other options were all, the wedding was in Bombay. So it was all banquets. And everyone was preferring the banquet because, you know, in Bombay, the mentality still at that point 4 years ago or 3.5 years ago was like, okay, let's do a banquet. Let's do a banquet. And this place, Great Eastern Homes, is literally like a, you know, it's a rundown mill. Which shut down and now there's like a furniture store where they sell some pieces and stuff, but it still look like ruins. And what they do is they give you the furniture store to do the event and they empty it out fully. There's nothing you can retain. Okay. So the walls are cobbled, the floor is cobbled and it's all like a ruin. And then my friend's family was like, are you sure you really want to do an event here? Because this just looks like the way it looks. And I was like, you know what? This will be the most like your guests will really love it. Let's go out there, break it and make it into something that's just like you enter and you feel like it's magical. And literally, you know, with me, why I insist so much on a recce before taking a client on board is because as soon as I walk into a place, believe it or not, I can see things erupting. Wow. So when I have walked into a place and I've got a brief already from the client, because I always do a call first with the client and I understand what they like. And from their story, I'm always sort of like, you know, like no jokes. Like it's something is a lounge is popping up, a stage is like things are just popping in front of my eyes. And that's correct. What happened at that event. And people were like, oh, it's in Baikala. And, you know, we don't know how it's going to be. So I think that's the first time I stuck to my gut and I was like, this is exactly what we are going to do here. And then onwards, you know, I was just like, okay, every time we're sticking to our gut, it just gives us a great output. Otherwise also it gives you a good output, but it's not out of the box. And I just thought that, you know, we're going to not do anything not out of the box. We'd rather do one or two weddings less. That's not a problem at all. But we rather do things out of the box. So even when we do a haldi, it's not like, oh, we say that we're not going to do anything traditional. I mean, we live in India and this is our tradition. But how to kind of incorporate that tradition into a modern version or, you know, have a different outlook towards a haldi, it's pretty much like what the focus is.
Correct.
Not every single thing.
You know, I'm glad you mentioned out of the box because we have to discuss the wedding we did in Jaipur in December because Akash and Rashi's wedding is...
Yes, and I'm telling you...
I have no words.
I'm so hoping that the photos from that wedding come out well because I was so happy with the output and I just love both those guys. I mean, you've worked with them. You know how... Sweetest. Like, I don't think I've had such amazing clients. Like, both of them just... were just amazing. And, you know, I've been posting on Instagram also about the trust. Like they just said, do it. Like it was one meeting and done. It when you come to that wedding, it doesn't sound like it was like that. But trust me, it was one meeting and done.
No, but what was this is just also because I want to understand the process of what Altair does before they actually execute. How was it with Akash and Rashi?
It was actually great because so Rashi was a fashion stylist and Akash has his own business. You know, they were very clear that we want to get someone on board who we have a first chat with. And in our chat, you understand in a way as to what we want because they're like, we're not doing anything that's super traditional or typical. That's not something we want. So I said, okay. And then when I sat with them, you know, they just said, we just basically kind of start asking random questions. Like, what do you like? What animals? And, you know, at a point, I think they were like, what are these questions? Like, like why are such, if what do you care what animal we like? And I was just it's like, guys, just relax, just keep answering, don't worry about it. And just like, and you know, at the Sangeet, they were like, oh, we want the you know, the indoor to look like outdoor. So then even when I asked this question that, do you want indoor to look like outdoor? They were like, what the hell do you mean? It's in a banquet. The Sangeet is in a banquet. And I was like, no, no. Do you want the indoor to look like outdoor? They kept answering, being like, okay, I don't know what she's talking, but I guess we've, I'll tell you, the initial meeting was, okay, we've got a designer on board.
We don't know how crazy she is.
Yeah, no, no. And it was like, huh, it must be it. We don't even know if these questions are making sense. Maybe it's just what they do.
Yeah.
So it was like, we'll just answer whatever. Then they gave me, but I must say that the inputs they gave me were like, whatever I asked, you know, I'm sure it was annoying, but they literally did give me the greatest inputs. And then one thing, I don't know if you came to the after party bit of it, when we did the rooms.
Of course.
Yeah. So, so the rooms is actually something I've always had on my mind and I've really wanted to do it, but I have not found anybody who's believed in it or thought that it could be produced in time. They were like, it seems very settish, it won't happen. But Akash was, the day I suggested it, Akash was like, you know what, we'll make it happen, it's going to happen. So I think it was also the positivity.
Do you want to give some context on what these rooms were for people who are listening? Because I've seen it, but at least visually, if you can explain what it was.
So basically, it was an after party. This event was supposed to happen post the wedding. And we wanted people to break out of that traditional wedding zone and just go into a different world. And a world that, see, again, it was in a banquet. So we had to fully make the banquet upside down. And how do we give that experience is we do the walls, we do the flooring, we do elevations. So, you know what, my whole concept was, it's like surreal rooms, like you can't believe you're here. So I thought, how do I break it? So when I enter through a banquet door, I'm like, oh, the banquet door is never going to give me that sort of a feel. So actually made that box with mirrors. So you see so much infinite of yourself that you actually pretty much at that point, which is the entry point, lose your mind. So you're already prepared and, you know, you're cut out from that banquet entry and stuff like that. You've kind of imagined yourself, but you yourself seeing in the infinity zone and your mind is already set. And post that you walk in, and what I actually wanted is that, you know, divide the place into multiple rooms. And I wanted it to be in a way that not in one room do I feel the exact same way in terms of feelings.
Correct.
Which means like if I'm in one room, which was an illusion room, I wanted you to feel that illusion. You know, people are also going to be drinking and stuff like that. So I want you to feel like elated and illusioned. There's another room where I also felt, so these bits also came from them because Rashi was a stylist. So, Akash kept saying, oh my God, she loves shopping. She loves shopping. And I was like, okay, we'll incorporate that. And they were like, what do you mean? How are you going to incorporate that? So we actually did shopping carts with robes just to kind of, inculcate that she's crazy after shopping. They like animals. So I'd done these animals. So coming back to one room was that. Even where you take your drinks from, the bar was another room. But the rooms were designed in a way that they're all three-sided rooms. So your vision is always towards the music. And you also want them to sort of enjoy the music as opposed to be cut out from the rest of the party. Because at the end of the day, it's still a wedding party. It's not an installation fair that I'm going to, that I'm okay to be cut out from the actual music.
Correct.
So that's how it was, evolved. One room was a bouncy castle. So the idea was to get the kid out in you, because now you're done with the wedding, you're done with the serious functions. And I feel the bouncy castle is a great way to kind of bring the kid out of you.
How did you manage to convince two adults that you want to put a bouncy castle inside a banquet?
You know, actually, they're very crazy. They're like the craziest and most fun couple that, sorry, I think I got cut off. Yeah, they're like just the most craziest and fun couple that I've seen. So when I actually proposed the idea, they were like, okay, will it not tear? Because these are going to be heavy adults jumping on it. I said, don't worry, they will not. I said, that's my guarantee. So then they were instantly like, okay, if you're giving the guarantee that this thing is not going to tear and people are not going to injure themselves. So obviously we did trial runs and stuff. It was not like, you know, we just got it and put it and stuff. They were like, 20 people jumping on it together because obviously we need to see the safety.
So your entire team, the whole altar was on a bouncy castle.
Yes,
the
yes.
Event.
Before people came in, everybody was jumping on that
How
castle.
How did I miss this? How did I miss this? Okay, huh?
Yeah, it was crazy. And then one room, there were like about seven rooms. So one of the room was the ball pit. The ball pit, there's this club in London called Bally's Bollerson where they had visited, and I've also visited that place. So I literally love the concept of immersion. So the whole idea was immerse in fun was the concept behind that room. So now how do you immerse in fun? Obviously, I thought like a ball pit was a great idea, and they happened to go to the place. So they said, oh my God, you know, we haven't traveled. Also this COVID, right?
Yeah.
They were like, we haven't traveled in so long. So this was also one of their briefs while we did the, you know, while we did the Q&A with them. Mm-hmm. And they were like, we haven't traveled. And if you can at all get something, you know, that we love in London, because everyone is used to going on holidays. Now everything's been cut off. So I said, they're like, yeah, but we don't want it to look tacky or, you know, like like blue green balls and stuff like that in terms in the ball pit. So I said, of course. So then that concept was immerse in fun. So there were different concepts in the rooms, and that's how they all sort of, you know, came together.
Unreal. This is so unreal. Like, as you're saying it, I can relive all of that. And it's so unreal. Gosh. But so this is what I wanted to kind of ask you, right? That all these concepts that you have, because I feel anyone in the design space sort of goes through this eventually, where they either, if you don't update yourself, you lose relevance. You know, so how do you manage to stay relevant? Like, what are your like inspirations, or what do you read up on, or how do you manage to like say, oh, this is what's working, not working? What is
it? I feel like this is a great question, because I always literally keep telling my team that, you know, I just feel that a lot of people as designers, or I don't know, I feel are always so, you know, looking at what someone else is doing and trying to up that. But I literally genuinely feel that it's so important to up your own game, because the minute somebody has seen A, they will want you to do A plus in another wedding, because they are taking you seeing your work. They aren't taking you on board seeing someone else's work.
Correct.
So you trying to up another person's game, I feel, does not work. So how to stay relevant is, suppose you've done a wedding. You literally have to strive to, you know, kind of up that. There are lots of international people doing some great work. But I also feel more than wedding designers, what I or my team does to stay relevant is we follow like Pantone colors, like what's the color of the season, or a lot of other things. Like we also do, we research on a lot of furniture exhibitions that happen in Italy. That's how we did, like, in another wedding, in the same Burning Man wedding, we did a whole theme based around on Rattan Cane and Pierre Janet chairs and stuff. Wow. Like that, because that's what we actually saw visually at our exhibition in Italy. It was a furniture exhibit. So we pay a lot of attention to not only the overall theme, but the soft linens, the furnishings, the furniture that goes into it. Correct. So what we do is we also follow textile trends and to what dyeing is in. So of course, you can follow other international designers and stuff, which is great. But to stay relevant, because, you know, even with clothes, like, for example, a Zara, they're following the current trends. It's correct. Because they're seeing what's in textile, what thread work is in, what a sort of silhouettes are in. So I feel like following something, that's more detailed gives you a great input in what you can take away in the latest wedding, because then you're just kind of staying super relevant, because you anyway know this is the most in thing.
So what is your thought about, I was having this thought after that conversation I had with you the other day also, is that I feel decor earlier was just very visual. You know, when you walk into a wedding, you see everything around and, you know, you're kind of in it. But I feel now decor's become a little more interactive also, you know, like over the last few years, you know, where the other day, I think it was that show on Netflix only, that The Big Day or something, where I saw these drummers playing through the hands, you know, through the wall and stuff. And it was interesting. What is your take on, you know, like, where do you sort of draw the line between visual and interactive, you know, decor elements that you want to put at a wedding?
So what we kind of do is, I'll tell you a little bit. So actually the experience part, of course, our decor by itself, when we do these rooms or when we do a mehndi that's inspired around a tiger, everything, you know, it's like going to a restaurant. So to tell you in other words, how I design an event is more like an interior space.
Okay.
As opposed to doing it like a wedding.
Okay.
So when I walk into, for example, any restaurant that you probably really like, for example, a Bagatelle, it really speaks to you. Like, you know that if you're going to an Amazonico in Dubai, you literally know you're in Amazonico. Correct. So the idea is to actually do the space up as an interior space and not as a wedding space. You can incorporate what the wedding demands in terms of round tables or long tables and stuff into that theme. So the space anyway speaks volumes when you enter, which is the first experiential part, because you, what you do is you see first.
Yeah.
The second part is what comes in with artists, you know, you, MC and stuff like that. And also like the entertainment designers. So what we do is we first tell the clients that, you know, don't book any of your artists or anything before we build a theme. Because, you know, it's like, and also do your food menu after we have done the themes. Because what happens is what I'm seeing visually, then I'm also eating that. I'm also feeling that. And then we kind of, you know, so when you come into the space, for example, to MC, it's great because you already know, like, I don't even have to explain the vibe to you. You already know what's going on here. And then you rope in those things. And the entertainment people also, because we do work with a lot of entertainment designers, which is not our work, but they are different companies who do it. For them also, their job becomes much easier because they know exactly how to accentuate the space. But for example, your theme is revolve, because I've seen that a lot of times, like themes revolve around colors. So, you know, when it revolves around just a color and there's lack of depth in it, what happens is like, what is the entertainment designer supposed to do? Like, he doesn't know whether he should put a walking bird or he should put a walking chandelier, and then it just looks like an off mix. So it's very important for all these things to be like super cohesive together. So that's pretty much what we do to, you know, kind of get the experience out.
I think that's perfect, because I feel this level of detail is something that's kind of missing, because again, you know, taking it back to that whole template conversation that we had.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, like, I got so in-depth. I remember at another wedding, this was in 2019, where I got into what clothes they are wearing, so that, you know, because they were, you know, like, so that I'm not, because I'm very clear about one thing, that I don't want to shine in the wedding. I want to be part of it. You know, and I feel this is what a lot of people sort of, at least from an artist point of view, everyone wants to say, oh, we rocked the wedding, oh, we did this. And then that's where you want to change that trend, you know,
because absolutely.
Like the other day, a groom sent me a message saying, "Arey bro, I need an intro video of yours because I want to put it up." I was like, "Bro, but I'm not the star at the wedding. You guys are the stars." Right. So
absolutely. And the thing is, you know what, I feel like with you or with me or with anybody who's doing anything creative, I feel, I've always said this on my Instagram stories and stuff, that if you are creative, you will never want to shine out. Like, I literally disappear from my site once the wedding is like done, because I'm that exhausted doing the work. But if the work, I just feel like your work has to speak for you, as opposed to you trying to do things that, you know, like, oh, I'll shine out and stuff. You may shine in that moment, but at the end of the day, and it's not even with anything creative, it's with a product also. Like, 100%. For example, Apple is coming out with AirPods. I mean, the product has to be good, no matter how much marketing you do. Eventually, if your product is not that great, there's only that far you can go with it.
100%. And I think that is so perfect. I want to understand, how is it that, firstly, how do you pick your team? Because I feel you are only as good as the team you pick. And secondly,
absolutely.
And secondly, how do you make your team? Like, as you told me, you know, you sit and do the research and all, but do you have dedicated research hours, or do you have, you know, like these brainstorming meetings, whether there's work or there's no work, you know, do you guys sit and do that? What is your process with your internal team like?
Yeah, so I'll tell you a little bit about my team. You know, I definitely pick my team with a lot of care. And what I, you know, it may sound very funny. I obviously see their technical knowledge. So the main is whether they can do my layouts and visualizing and all that is still, it's all still the more technical things, right? Which people who apply, they kind of do know these things. That's why they've applied for a certain position. But it may sound very weird, but what I actually see is their heart. And because I whoever I work with, I genuinely do feel like they are my extended family, because I think I spend more time with them than my husband. So I definitely feel that whoever comes into the team kind of needs to be like an extended family, because what happens in a wedding is also the client is like an extended family. So there are times, of course, when, you know, they want something at an unreasonable hour or something. Of course, people are also very cautious and they are all young people. But sometimes, you know, you don't want anyone who's so like within the boundary of doing work that they are refusing to break the chain and go, you know, out to do anything extra. So I definitely feel the heart, their passion to go an extra mile. Like, I really like to see, like, as passionate as I am about doing someone else's wedding, are they equally passionate and willing to go that extra mile? Because sometimes I feel, even like, I've had people who are freshers who perform better than experienced people solely because of their passion. And me, I have done no professional course. Like, I have never done a professional course on weddings or design or anything. I was a CA student who quit.
I was coming
to
that. So
I do feel that passion is something that takes you further. And the third thing actually that I really would see is hardworking. Because I've switched so many careers that I've definitely seen that, you know, talent without hard work is worse than non-talented. Because I feel like hardworking people go further than the people who are talented and not hardworking.
Correct.
So hardworking is something. So these are actually, apart from the bookish knowledge that they bring, which a lot of people bring, these are like the other things I see. Because also, if you don't have these qualities in you, what becomes really tough is how are you going to think out of the box? Because you're anyway thinking of bouncing as soon as work is over. So then your mind, you're also restricting your mind from thinking something that's out of the box. That's, you know, so you have to go that little extra mile, because honestly, it is tough to keep coming up with new themes, because you're doing so many weddings in a season. Indian weddings is not like weddings outside where there's one event of the vows and maybe a party.
Correct.
Each event we're doing like 4 events, 6 events. So it's a lot to do, and we've never repeated till late. So it's very hard to keep up with ourselves or our own standards. So you need somebody to, you know, kind of, so that's how we kind of build our team. So that's pretty much the only things I see when I'm getting someone on board. And obviously the thing of learning, because honestly, I'm also still learning. I'll be very honest. It's not like I definitely cannot say that, oh my God, I know everything. I literally don't. So I feel like, you know, it's great to have a team who kind of figures it out and we're all walking together. So I just feel that's great. So that's what I look at for
sure. What is your team? Like, what do you guys do? Like, how do you brainstorm?
So basically we don't, you know, we are better. I've realized that brainstorming once we have a venue, as opposed to brainstorming up in the air. Because like I said, my whole forte is as soon as I see the venue, I just know. Like it sounds very like spiritual, but it's literally when I walk into a space, I just know what is going to look good here. And then we start brainstorming, because I actually build the base that this will be the base of this space. And then everyone sort of gets onto the bandwagon and starts brainstorming and stuff like that. The brainstorming that we actually do when we don't have a wedding or there's off season or not a wedding, then is more on architectural structures and installations and art exhibitions that happen abroad, and not with, you know, not keeping like a wedding theme in mind.
Correct.
Because I'm not into like just making themes when we don't even have a venue. So, then the brainstorming, definitely a lot of brainstorming is there, but it's all got to do with like, oh, what amazing installation some artists are making and stuff like that.
So I have a hypothetical question now. Since you're married, right, I'm going to ask you this. That if you had to, be the decor person at your own wedding, what would you have done differently?
See, firstly, I didn't do my own wedding decor.
No, I'm saying if you had a chance now to like go back in time and do that, what would you do differently considering now you're the bride also, you know? So what would be the concept that you would put out considering you're so crazy about concepts anyway?
I would change everything about my wedding. To be honest, with regards to the decor, there's nothing I liked in my wedding decor. But to be fully honest, I really didn't. Because it was absolutely, I mean, I think my feiras were still pretty, and I did a sit down dinner, which was great. And I felt like I would change nothing about the sit down dinner because I fully designed it myself. So what we did is we kind of put the whole canopy. It was in a banquet. So to change the banquet, we literally did stars in the ceiling. So the walls and the ceiling, everything had stars. And then we were sitting under the stars on mirror tables. And this was like, 4 years ago. So, but with the other parts is something I didn't design, and I think I would change every single thing about it. It sucked. Like I was like, I would also change my photographer because I had a photographer who was some local person in Thailand who has actually forgotten to click my family and me. I have no pictures.
Oh my God.
of my mom, dad, me and my husband. I have no pictures with them. I only have pictures of my shoes, the bottom of my lehenga. And it was terrible.
I think we have to like do another part two on just your wedding. We can do that probably very, very soon in another season. But
every time somebody talks to me about my own wedding, I get so pissed off because I'm like, oh God, what would I change? I would change everything about it. Everything.
So coming back to where would you draw the line? You know, considering your concepts are out of the box, right? Right from the Burning Man that went viral, or the the entire tiger style mehndi, or the other concepts that you've done which are on Instagram, right? Where do you draw the line from where something is basic to eccentric?
It's a tough question actually, because you know, even when clients tell me in this function we want something very basic, I say yeah, of course this one we'll keep it simple, because it ends up into being something eccentric only. As much as I try, I feel like it just goes into something eccentric, because honestly I've lots of times when clients have said that, oh, you know, we're already doing so much in all the other functions and we want this to be like very basic. I make something basic for starters and then I scrap it off myself because I'm like, guys, I'm not at all happy with this. This looks like so boring. Like I would only go to sleep on your site. So then, you know, they eventually, like, because of my equation, they get convinced and they're like, fine, just do something crazy. So I feel like I don't do anything basic. I actually don't enjoy it. So I would not even like to say or accept the fact that, because I know every time I try to do something basic, I've moved it into something crazy. So, not crazy essentially, but like crazy would be the wrong word. I think like detail. Because every time details are missing, I feel like it's not my work. You know, I just feel like I've not done a good job, and I feel like I've just done a half-hearted job by just doing something that doesn't have any detail.
The reason I sort of asked you this also, right, was because, you know, earlier when people would tell me, oh, you need to do this and these are the games you should play. But I was, so in the start, I would do it because everyone does stuff in the start. But then when you sort of understand, okay, this is what you can do differently. I was one of the first people who bought American frat party games to
awesome,
you know, like America, like who would have thought that you could play you know, Flip Cup and adapt it to an Indian atmosphere, because this that's why I was asking you, because for me right now, if someone gives me something and says, okay, this is what we need you to do, without any input of mine, I wouldn't know how to attach my name to it, because the 200 people that would see me there would then...
I agree with what you're saying. So you know, the thing is that in the start of the career, it's not like we said yes to everything a client said, but in the start of the career, I won't lie, we did do things that pleased people, or you know, thankfully we did always have clients, I'll be honest, who wanted to do something different. But yeah, if I have chosen something crazy for a mehndi, they've turned it around into being like, no, how can a mehndi not have ginda? It sounds like the most off thing.
Correct.
So then we have changed it around and done something really nice in Genda, which is still different. But having that Genda there made them really happy. And it's not like we don't like Genda. It's obviously we're trying to do something different. But at that point, when you're new, it's hard for people to trust you. So until you kind of don't, you know, rope in that trust, now after 4 years or 3.5 years, actually I have to check how many years it has been, but after 3.5, 4 years, I feel like now because of Instagram, because of awareness, you know, I'd also like to say that Wedding Sutra has helped, like they saw us somewhere and they helped a lot in terms of like recognition and stuff. Now they blindly believe, but of course, and now we are in a position to draw the line because I'm also, Vishal, super confident that no, if I'm rejecting something that a family is saying and insisting on something that we really want to do, it's only for their good. It's for their event to look fab.
Correct.
It's for their son's or daughter's wedding to look fab. But now, 100%. Having so much experience, you also have the confidence. In the start, when you're already new, you're still, you know, you have production, you have lights, you have so many elements, you're already kind of a bit shaky. Plus, they don't trust you because they haven't seen enough work of you to be like, okay, here you go, do what you want. So it took time and a lot of effort for them to, you know, start making to like believing us and stuff like that. But having said that, yeah, now we draw the line. But initially, of course, all of us have done things that maybe we didn't want to do, but you got to do what you got to do.
So I have a few questions towards the end of this, right? One of them is, what is the most bizarre request you've received? Like you've said, oh, this is crazy by my, like even crazier from my standards. Okay. What is the most bizarre request you've received? Secondly, do you think...
Bizarre in a good way or a bad?
Good. Everything good, right? Like, because I've been to a Delhi wedding, right? And Delhi weddings are way different than what you've seen in Bombay, you know? And for me, my reference point was Bombay. And then when I went to Delhi, I was like, oh, this is something else only. So that's what I'm
absolutely.
Saying. That is one thing. Secondly, I wanted to understand in terms of your future, like where do you see Altair going? Like, you know, in terms of what is the plan for the future?
So the bizarre thing, I actually have to think. Yeah, I don't think, I think that I only give the most bizarre ideas more than people, because you know, in weddings, people come with a very, you know, with a straight mindset being like, okay, this is what we want to do. But bizarre, I actually can't think right now, because literally, I'm telling you very honestly, I'm the person who gives that bizarre idea and they're like, what? You want to do this at a wedding? That's crazy.
Okay, let's turn it around a little bit. In all the weddings that you've done, now see, I know a few of them, right? Which is the one concept that you're, because I feel all these concepts that you've made, right? These are like your little babies, right? Even for me on the other side. Which is that one concept that you're very proud about? In all these things that you've done.
So I don't want to say it publicly. That'd be so mean. Because I love all equally. How
no, I know. I know. But I know there's that one that, you know, like that. That this was something that, you know, that really kind of bought
so
out.
So I recently did an event in Udaipur. And the theme was Enchanted Forest. And it was bizarre. It was a plain patch of land without grass. We have grown grass in it. We have planted trees with cranes and actually made it into a forest. And that's another story that my photographers lost the hard disk. But
oh
anyway.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So we can't find the pictures. So I'm hoping on the, you know, on the wedding photographers to kind of do justice to the video and the photos. So yeah, we planted trees with cranes. There were about 18,000 candles. It was... According to me, I just, like when I walked into that space and it was ready, I think I wanted to cry.
You patted yourself on the back, you said.
No, I didn't pat myself because I was so exhausted. I literally couldn't believe that we've done this. You know, that feeling where I was literally like, oh, have we really done this? And it was just, we built like a fort for the stage and it was like a broken fort.
Unreal.
So it's definitely really, really close to my heart.
Unreal. And where do you see Altair now in the future? Where do you see it going now?
you know, I want to keep growing in this field, which is the wedding design. I feel like it'll always be my baby. And as long as, you know, I can come up with refreshed and new ideas, I'll always be happy. I feel like, you know, the day I actually stop getting butterflies in my stomach, seeing a space, is when I'll take a backseat, to be very honest. I'm just a person. Anything I do or any business I've done before this or any job I've done, it has to give me butterflies. I'm just not a person who can work without the work being exciting. So I feel that's, so I definitely have a lot of butterflies now, and I keep, you know, seeing ourselves getting more clients who are experimental and stuff. So I definitely see Altair doing more and more weddings. But what I also see is, you know, I of course see Altair doing the best of weddings, and I hope we get all of them, and you know, we get at least clients who are willing to accept us. But as Altair, I also see coming up with, you know, like a product line. I want to get into a business where it's also product based. Like right now, what we're doing is very service based. But in the future, I do want to have, like, you know, like a wedding furniture rental, and it's also home products. I want Altair to become into a brand that does, you know, it's like a, that's why the name also can sustain. So I want to do like an Altair home for sure. That's in the pipeline. So I want to do an Altair home. There'll be an Altair weddings, and then I don't know, we'll see. But but I definitely want to do something in that space.
That is beautiful. I have to ask you, are you one of those people that walks into a wedding? So this is with me, and I know I'm an asshole for doing this, but are you one of those people that goes into a wedding and starts saying, oh, this can be better, this can be better, this can be better? Because we do it for a...
No, absolutely not.
So
absolutely.
I have this thing where I will go and I will see, okay, maybe the show flow can be better. So I've reached a point where I don't go for like family weddings anymore. I can't.
Really?
It's disturbing.
No, I leave my brains outside always. I always leave my brains outside. I just go and have, I literally, you know, cause you know, the kind of weddings we do and stuff, it's also not fair to kind of compare everything, because you don't know, everyone has different budgets, they have different priorities. Because forget the budgets, not everybody's priority is decor.
Correct.
You, someone may think that the F&B, the food and the beverages and the alcohol and the you know, the photos have way more importance than decor. So it's all a personal choice. They, for them, decor, I mean, in my own house, I feel like my father-in-law may not even understand why this much money people would like to spend on decor. So it's all relative. So I feel like I just leave my brains outside, and I'm so happy to just be attending something and not doing it. Then I'm full of joy. I'm like, finally, I don't have to make sure that things are done. I just have to enter, eat, enjoy.
Awesome. So one final thing, where can people find you on Instagram and everywhere else? And yeah, I think this has been an immense conversation. Like, I can't wait to do the next project with you very, very soon.
Thanks. Yeah, I'm super excited also. I feel like they can definitely find us on Instagram and only Instagram. I get told so many times, being like, don't post so much, it'll get replicated. I get screenshots being like, oh, this is done again. I have full faith in my team and my creativity. And I feel like, if they're, honestly, you might may think I'm crazy, but just yesterday, day before,
I think that ship has sailed already. So that's fine.
Getting screenshots being like, copied this, that. And you may think I'm crazy, because you know what I thought of it is, I was like, wow, the concept was so good. People are loving it so much. So I'm a little crazy that way. So I literally didn't feel bad about it. I was like, oh, it was so good that they actually loved it. That's why they're redoing it. So that's amazing. I mean, so that's just how I think about it. So yeah, so I just put whatever on Instagram. We obviously don't, you know, post so often or whatever. It's because, you know, we're also working and doing things. But yeah, the place to find us is Instagram.
What's the handle?
My handle is called Altair Decor. Altairdecor.
Awesome.
You will find me there. Okay, but I just have to tell you that this was just so fun. And it was live, so it was great, because I suck at pre-recorded things. I just get so conscious. But this was super fun, and I've also spoken to you, met you, so I could just get, you know, it just makes everything like super easy.
I know. And
so it was super fun, and I hope you get lots of views on your podcast.
And what I really liked is we've spoken a few times prior, but we're really, really similar with something you said about butterflies. You know, it's mentally also, I thought that the day this is not fun for me anymore, I won't do it, you know? And I think that's...
Yeah, absolutely.
That's just beautiful. Thank you so much, Janki, for giving
us the time. Thank you, Vishal. Thank you. Thanks a ton.
I really hope you've enjoyed that episode, right? And make sure to check her Instagram profile, Altair Decor. You will love it because it is beautiful. It is so unreal. I've seen it face to face and it's just gorgeous. Nonetheless, make sure to check it out. Make sure to check me out on Instagram on The VR Family. And if you like what we do, make sure to give a thumbs up wherever you listen to this. This is Behind the Shadi and we'll see you on the next one.